You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. As well, you can hear these podcasts at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. There are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, which are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 217A by Rudolf Steiner. It's a collection of addresses and essays, etc., entitled Youth and the Etheric Heart. Rudolf Steiner speaks to the younger generation. This is Part 3, an address entitled On the Youth Movement, but it is discussion and question and answer session during an independent at the Philosophical Higher Education course given in Stuttgart on March 20th, 1921. Question. What is the youth movement? What is it, and how can it lead people to anthroposophy? People who have gone through the youth movement see anthroposophy as an extension of what they were looking for in the youth movement. They would like to hear something about the significance of that movement from the perspective of spiritual science. Rudolf Steiner. The youth movement emerged at a time when I myself was no longer young. So the people who participated in it must be at least outwardly better informed than I am. To outer view, the youth movement is not an abstract unitary movement, but one made up of individuals with a great variety of ideas and worldviews who find their way to each other, perhaps on the basis of feeling. This is one aspect of the youth movement, but there are other forces involved. It is not held together by personalities, and its intrinsic, cohesive forces are more basic than the forces of any worldview, for example. There are many people in the youth movement who cannot formulate what they want clearly or consciously. Another aspect of the youth movement is that it emerged simultaneously in different countries. We cannot say, for example, that the Swiss and German youth movements influenced each other. The youth movement rose up out of fundamental forces in many places at the same time. It is a universally human phenomenon. We must consider the youth movement's characteristics scrupulously. When we first encounter such a movement, we sense that it can be understood only from very profound perspectives. If we approach the youth movement with the historical knowledge of spiritual science, we recognize its connection to the reversal that took place within individuals and in human history at the end of the 19th century. We can come to this conclusion by observing the qualities of statements made by people who were adolescents or children at that time. Having observed such statements closely, I have come to realize that the youth movement is indeed related to the great reversal at the end of the 19th century. It is one of the symptoms of the dawning of a new era. When we are intimately associated with a movement, we do not recognize all aspects of its being. We learn about some of these aspects only when we distance ourselves from it. Thus, some historical connections can be recognized only from the perspective of a later point in time. Through spiritual scientific methods, however, we can achieve the necessary distance. We can learn to observe precisely and gain insight into the connections between events. Someday, for example, people will be able to think about the end of the 19th century and realize that it signaled the arrival of an important impulse that still remains hidden today. This universally human impulse appears to be alive in the hearts of those who turned to the youth movement. Their hearts are illumined by this tremendously significant turning point at the end of the 19th century. It is not always especially important to get into discussion on such matters, but it is important to recognize the vital impulses at work and to acknowledge that those who joined the youth movement sensed the presence of these impulses. The purpose of spiritual science is to consciously intercept the impulses at work in humankind's development. Without spiritual science, we believe, we cannot understand major catastrophes in the world. Philistines, materialists, who cannot understand such things, take anthroposophists for eccentric, muddled thinkers, and fail to realize that they themselves are the muddled thinkers. People who have grown up with old ideas can no longer keep up. Their brains are decadent, full of old stuff they have carried over into the 20th century. There is nothing contradictory about youth movement members finding their way to spiritual science. In fact, we might say they are predestined to do so. The youth movement is characterized by an emotional relationship to what spiritual science accesses on a more or less conscious level. We must not become conceited. Our knowledge must not lead us to say things like, quote, "Our era is alive in me," close quote. But we have been shaped, at least in part, by the impulse of the end of the 19th century. We must take an outer view of such things in place of the patriarchal perspective of our forefathers, which is inadequate for the times we live in. Question: how can we find a bridge between the youth movement, with its resistance to old world views, and anthroposophy? We experience a certain resistance to anthroposophy. Many people find it somewhat gruff. Anthroposophists lay out the path too specifically and emphasize spirit too much for the liking of young people who are simply trying to find themselves. Rudolf Steiner. This is related to the impulse I mentioned just now. We can also approach the same question from the opposite perspective. You see, in our era, anthroposophy offers a means of approaching certain spiritual phenomena. People who find their way to anthroposophy are no longer rooted in the immediate cultural past. Friedrich Nietzsche is an example of someone who is stuck in the past. He lived during a time of transition, and destiny condemned his sensitive soul to suffer everything possible at the hand of 19th century culture. As a student during the positivist period, when he became familiar with the works of Wagner and Schopenhauer, he suffered under what his culture found most uplifting. He remained trapped in 19th century culture, and we can see how he first suffered and then collapsed under it. Some of his contemporaries were able to extricate themselves and eventually found anthroposophy. In some respects, they were like orphaned children struggling to find their feet on unfamiliar ground. Anthroposophy stood on its own, abandoned by the past. Anthroposophy is not simply a matter of assuming a worldview. Being an anthroposophist involves participating with your whole being. People who choose not to develop a relationship to anthroposophy are exposing themselves to risk. If we who do develop this relationship make no attempt to bridge the gap between ourselves and these other, in quotes, orphans, they may, under certain circumstances, miss out on the connection to humankind's further development. I can certainly understand objections such as yours. Nonetheless, we must make an effort to find the bridge. If we avoid the bridge out of anxiety, we run the risk I just described, and we will get nowhere at all. Something changed in the youth movement not long ago. It had been all about coming together, about people wanting to find each other. In the past few years, however, this has changed for some individuals who attempted to shut themselves off from others. Within the movement, this manifested as subtle but pervasive differences between national groups. Lack of spiritual content is leading to isolation of individuals. There are many different routes to anthroposophy. We must move beyond collisions with individual anthroposophists to attempting to experience anthroposophy as such. At present, anthroposophy is actually the only non-dogmatic worldview, the only one that is not set on very specific ways of doing things, and makes an effort to take a variety of perspectives. Anthroposophy's main concern is life, not the forms things assume. But of course, we are forced to use familiar forms in order to be understood. An American once asked me whether I thought that what I had written on the body social would still be relevant in future ages. I told this person that my writings are structured in a way that allows for metamorphosis. In the future, they may lead to very different conclusions. The important thing is for life to encounter life. Comment from a participant. An immediate concern of young adults is to bridge the gap between what they have been taught and real life. We can't do anything with what we learned. For example, teachers who were part of the youth movement have been fighting for a long time for what is now happening in the Waldorf school. This is one place where bridges could be built. Also, the thought content of various anthroposophical courses has been experienced in the youth movement on an unconscious level for a long time. Rudolf Steiner. In our times, thoughts are how individuals find access to the general development of humankind. Thoughts are the connection. This is simply a fact that we must take into account. It is completely possible to introduce anthroposophy to adolescents and even to children, though we cannot do so from an old person's perspective. For example, to introduce children to the idea of the immortal soul, you describe the butterfly in the chrysalis. Children relate to that immediately, because it is the truth. When a butterfly emerges from its chrysalis, nature is showing us a parallel, on a lower level, to what happens to the immortal soul. On the other hand, if I approach teaching from the perspective that children are stupid and I am intelligent, the child will never learn anything, especially if I do not believe what I am telling them. This example illustrates one way of introducing anthroposophy to children. In history lessons, living aspects of history must be brought to life in the right way. Question. By now, many former members of the youth movement have gone over to the Philistines, the materialist camp. The youth movement focuses heavily on life's emotional and psychological aspects. It strives to relate to feelings and to the natural world. And these efforts have caused people to resist much of what comes from the past. People wanted to live according to laws of their own, but they never got beyond the feeling level. They failed to realize that being true to oneself becomes truly fruitful only when it is thought through, and so they did not think things through to the end. If we recognize anthroposophy's significance for young people, we can then show them in philosophical terms that they need anthroposophy, that anthroposophy wants what they want, only more consciously. To date, there have been three ways of dealing with the sexuality issue: Cruella's body-soul, asceticism, and young marriages. But these ways have not offered real solutions. Rudolf Steiner. These three ways all attempt to use old dogmatic thinking to solve a new problem facing humanity. Thinking alone, however, does not encompass the entire being of a free individual. I see anthroposophy as something living, something capable of transforming individuals into beings different from what they were before. Through the substance of anthroposophy, we become free. After a brief period of development, we become really free human beings. A question that is passed through life cannot be resolved by thinking about it. If tackled from the perspective of freedom, however, it will be solved through real life. We must not be concerned about possible undesirable social consequences. Suppose we want to understand how conception results in the birth of a male or female being. If this ever became a matter of rational control, there would surely be fewer men than women on the earth. But despite the fact that this process manifests as the sum of many individual incidents, the inner laws governing it ensure social balance. Brackett, Rudolf Steiner refers to his book titled Intuitive Thinking as a Spiritual Path, Reader's Aside, also entitled The Philosophy of Freedom, end of Reader's Aside, and then continues, close bracket. Our life cannot be transformed all at once, and change certainly cannot be programmed. But we can prepare for change by developing an independent attitude as a basis. This problem must be solved on an individual basis, especially with regard to the sex issue. Young people's literature is highly dogmatic. Question. In the beginning, the youth movement was very romantic. Based on what they encountered in nature, people realized that the divine cannot be grasped exclusively through reason. Anthroposophy is concerned with efforts to understand. It wants to raise everything to the level of consciousness. Most people cannot bridge the gap between these two approaches. Rudolf Steiner. This kind of thinking is overly self-centered, in that it does not consider how to connect with the development of humanity as a whole. In modern times, conceptualization and mental imagery have come to the fore. They are how we experience the world today. We must pull ourselves up out of the dimness of feeling and arrive at light-filled mental images through thinking. Thinking makes us truly human. It transforms our emotional activity. We become more human as a result of what thinking releases in us. We attempt to dwell in feelings when we shy away from clarity. Feeling that passes through thinking can become very intense. When people say that they are living in nature, they often imply that they are attempting something out of the ordinary. We need to realize, though, that this longing to connect with nature is nothing new. We are simply regaining what we once lost. This longing must be alive in modern individuals who inherit too little from the old and thus have to acquire it for themselves. In this context, I recommend Schiller's treatise titled On Naive and Sentimental Poetry and my title Intuitive Thinking as a Spiritual Path is based on a natural relationship to nature. Question. A divide exists between young people who are now in secondary school and older young adults. Young people today are different from the youth of the youth movement. The adolescent spirit of the youth movement was described as the, quote, romanticism of outrage, close quote, whereas the spirit of modern secondary school youth would have to be described as the, quote, resignation of rebuilding, close quote. All of the profound experiences of the youth movement, outings by night, campfires, aimless wandering, look like Bolshevism to modern adolescents. They reject all of that and long for authority, for limits to abide by. Is this just a transient reaction, or should we see it as the dawn of a new era among young people? Rudolf Steiner. The generation now, between the ages of 35 and 50 years old, grew up in difficult times. The spiritual focus of the late 1800s and early 1900s was on material things. And all the goodness of the spiritual life of the 1850s and 1860s was buried. Most of the people who are actively doing something in the world today are too old, over 50 years old, and young people with good intentions cannot get a foot in the door. Between these groups is an inwardly passive generation, the parents of youngsters now in high school. This generation has a bad influence on adolescents, who look up to them as their leaders. Authority is acceptable in itself, but it depends on the personalities who exercise it. What ideals is the generation between 35 and 50 passing on to its children? We can only feel sympathy for these adolescents. Question. Would you find it desirable to form an organization of youth movement members who are also anthroposophists? Rudolf Steiner. You know, I do not think much of organizing. In my title, Toward Social Renewal, Collected Works, Volume 23, I deliberately talked about the body social and not about organizing. We've had more than our fill of organizing in recent years. Question. What I meant to ask was whether common tasks would emerge for young people in the anthroposophical movement or whether each person would have an individual task. Rudolf Steiner. In the future, any task an individual undertakes will be a common task, and everyone will have to make common tasks their own. It will not work any other way. But we can accomplish this only through association, not through organization. The end of part 3. And this was translated by Catherine Krieger.